Hello, and welcome to episode 56 of the Travel and Adventure Photography School podcast. As always, I'm your host, Robert Massey. Thank you so much for spending some of your precious time with me today. I really appreciate it. This podcast is part of the educational arm of my photography business, Robert Massey Photography, based in Calgary, Alberta. If you want to find out more about what we do, you can find us online at robertmasseyphotography.ca, or you can give us a follow on Instagram at robertmasseyphotography. All right, let's get on with the show. Now, I am super excited about today's episode. I got the chance to interview a brilliant photographer from right here in Calgary. She focuses on crafting adventure and lifestyle images in the Canadian Rockies, with a particular focus of documenting her own explorations. Now, Erin brings this personal touch and visions to the photos that she shares. They bring you into the adventure that she is having and give you a sense of the awe and the wonder that is out there. Her work focuses a lot on dynamic landscapes, reflections in the mountains, and showing off that scale of people being out adventuring and just how big and beautiful our world truly is. Now, she's someone who I feel deserves way more attention for the beauty of her work, so I had to reach out and talk to her about her process, the gear she uses, and adventure in general. And boy, did we have a fantastic conversation. I was just super stoked that she was willing to step on and do this with me. So today in the episode, you're going to learn about her creation process, why adventures matter, and hear one of my favorite bear stories that I have ever heard. It's fantastic. Erin publishes a lot of her work onto Instagram, and that's where you can find her primarily. So check her out at erint_explores. And trust me, those photos will just brighten up your day and brighten up your feed massively. So without further ado, let's get right into this conversation. Say hello to Erin.
Erin, welcome to the podcast. Thank you so much for being here today.
Yeah, thank you so much. I really appreciate you reaching out, and I'm excited to chat about photography and adventuring. It'll be great.
Awesome. So you post a lot of adventure, kind of like lifestyle, outdoors photography stuff. Does that all generate from like your own experiences and your own adventures? Like, is that what you really love to be out doing?
Absolutely. Yeah. I grew up in Canmore, so it was kind of always outside, biking, hiking, skiing. So it's kind of, as I've gotten older, it's just gotten more and more. And I really enjoy it. Not just for the photography aspect of it, but just being outdoors and out in the silence and on top of a mountain. And it's just, yeah, it's a really great experience.
Beautiful. So can you give people a little bit of an idea of who you are? Whatever you want to share with us would be fantastic.
Sure. So I grew up in, like I said, I grew up in Canmore and I currently live in Calgary now. I actually do drafting for a job. So I am now working from home. And I kind of started out in university. I was in Lethbridge and I bought my first Canon camera there just off Kijiji, used like $500 and it was a Canon T2i. And from there, I kind of just took it wherever I was going, just out on adventures or on road trips. And yeah, it was kind of a really good starting point for me. It was kind of a gradual learning curve from there, as that was 10 years ago. So, yeah.
Nice. So yeah. That was actually going to be my next question. So is it kind of being like this so slow little growth into photography, or was, like, I know that some people have this aha moment and then love it, or just like with me, it started out because they gave me a camera in J school, like in journalism school. And then I kind of did it because I had to for work. And then it eventually grew into something I really love doing. So can you talk a little bit about that with us?
Yeah, for sure. So like I said, I bought kind of 10 years ago, bought my first Canon camera, and it was super gradual. I used like auto, didn't really understand the manual functions. It was just kind of shoot and click, and I dragged it everywhere up mountains with me just to get that, you know, that one photo. And obviously back then, I mean, iPhones were not really a thing. So to have such a nice camera that can take these amazing photos was really a big thing for me. And I just bought a new camera a couple years ago, and full frame. And that really hit kind of turning point for me, you know. And COVID's been such a weird, it's been such a weird year, and it's been really tough. But for me, I started working from home. So all of a sudden I didn't have to sit in traffic for hours a day. I had time to edit and, you know, be able to go explore in the mountains and have more freedom to do kind of what I wanted. So I kind of had the gradual and then the aha moment. So I just started taking these photos and I was like, man, I get it now. I get what all these functions are and what the settings mean. And it was gradual to an aha. And then it's kind of been going from there. So yeah.
That's cool. Full frame is a big jump. And I don't think people tend to realize that all that much when you jump from, especially like a lower end crop sensor crop sensor to a proper full frame. And you're like, oh, that changes. Like when I jumped up to an R from a 7D Mark II, it changed everything in the way it looked. And my 7D was a beautiful camera, but the R just has a quality to it that it can't match whatsoever. So what camera did you jump up into?
I bought a Canon 6D Mark II.
Nice. That's a good camera.
Yeah. I've really enjoyed it. Yeah. It's been fun. I think another big thing is like lenses too. Even with my Canon T2i, like I bought a 10 to 18 millimeter wide angle, and it just like blew my mind. It changed everything for me. I was like, oh, I can get all of like everything I want in a photo. So when I got the full frame, it was like, oh, so much better. And I actually just got a wide angle for that camera too. So I'm really excited to take it on some adventures. So
that's going to be nice.
Yeah.
Super awesome. Excited. Let's talk a little bit about that, like that capturing process, since we're talking about photos anyway and what you do. Can you take us through a little bit of your like mindset for when you're out taking photos, like what you look for? Do you look for composition? Is it just the scene in front of you? Like, can you take us through that kind of mindset that helps you create a good photo?
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. So recently I've been really, I kind of go through phases, you know. Sometimes I'm super into just lighting or colors or just taking a photo. But recently I've been really looking at kind of the foreground, kind of what is around you, not just what is in front of you. So, you know, I'll find a branch or a rock or something interesting. It kind of draws that attention to the photo a little bit more. Also kind of like a centrally focused thing, whether it's a tree or just like a mountain peak or a road or anything of that sort. That kind of is my first intention, is trying to find that central focus that I want in a photo. So, yeah.
Nice. And then kind of what's your secondary thing that, like, do you really love using leading lines or framing kind of compositions, or do you kind of blend pieces of composition together?
I tend to blend for sure. Yeah, I guess for leading lines. Roads are a big one, obviously. And I actually went on a winter hike last weekend, and it was kind of blah out, not super exciting. And I found this little creek that had been filled in with tons of snow. So it was just like these like poofs. And there was just this beautiful leading line going right to the mountain. And it was just like, oh, that's perfect. Nice. And it was the only photo I took that day. And it depends on the day for sure. It depends on the what's around me as well. So
days like that are kind of annoying, but fun. Hey, like where you drag all your equipment everywhere and you're like, I got one beautiful photo, but I also dragged my equipment for 8 hours.
So. Totally. Yeah. And the Canon cameras are not light. They are like easily 8 pounds.
Yeah. Oh yeah. It's sad. I keep telling my buddies, when it's like, I bought a backpacking bag that was 85 liters when really I needed a 60 liter. I'm like, I need 15 liters for camera gear. Like, you really have no choice.
Absolutely. Yeah. Me too.
So I love the color in your pictures specifically, like and I don't know if it's your editing style or like the time of day that you're out really often, but there's something about the colors in your images that are beautiful. Like the ones you posted today, I think, from your ski touring trip into BC, I just saw them before we were starting up here. And there's something about the color that you produce in your images. So do you touch them up quite a bit afterwards in post, or do you tend to go back to what's naturally there in front of you a lot?
I do a bit of both. So that one, I did change the colors a little bit in the sky. It was evening, so that lighting was still there. But kind of, it's tough. Instagram, you're trying to follow kind of what it is on your feed. So blues, oranges, whatever. So with that being said, I do try not to over edit anything. I try to capture kind of the beauty that is there and just enhance it a little bit. But yeah, it was still a beautiful evening. Like, yeah, just the lighting and the colors and like the road one that I posted, I think a week ago or so, that was not enhanced at all. That sky was as pink as you can get. It was incredible. I'm going to post one of the other direction eventually. And that was like, literally, it looked like the trees were on fire. It was just, oh, it was incredible. So.
Whoa, that sounds amazing. Yeah, I love days like that.
Oh, I know. We weren't expecting it either because it was like so cloudy and kind of really low hanging clouds. And we wanted to stop kind of at that Castle Mountain Junction. And I was like, no, forget it. Like, can't even see anything. So we kept going and we're driving and it just like exploded. And we were like, oh my God, we got to pull over. Like, so yeah, it was one of those like, holy crap moments. But yeah, it turned out well.
It's like, get off to the side of the road now as fast as you can.
Yeah, absolutely. Safely, of course. But
yeah, safely. That's always the main idea here.
Yes, definitely.
That's fantastic. So do you have like a favorite photo experience or a favorite moment from the adventures that you've taken a photo like that, where just something that sticks out in your mind?
Oh, there's so many. Let me think.
That's a good sign of life.
Yeah, totally. I went to Jasper a couple weeks ago, actually, and that road is just beautiful. Literally everywhere you turn, it's just picturesque, just perfect. I could stop every 5 minutes and just take a photo.
Is this the Icefield Parkway that we're talking about?
The Icefield Parkway, yeah. Yeah,
that road.
It's such a nice road. So yeah, so we stopped at the Athabasca Glacier up there, and most of the time you can't see anything. Like, it's so socked in a lot. And we stopped and it was so windy, like probably hurricane gale force winds, like blowing me off of my feet. And it was stunning. You could see the snow drifting down the glacier and it just blowing off the mountaintops. And the lighting was just perfect. It was misty, but it was kind of like glittering. Like the sun was just like glistening through the mist. It was really quite amazing. And yeah, it was lots of fun. And
that
sounds
beautiful.
Yeah, it was beautiful. And I actually went to Canmore for my birthday in December. And it's probably my most shared and probably one of my favorite photos to date. And you know, the morning was kind of blah. I didn't really get a huge sunrise. And I set up my camera. I just got these new filters and I set up for a long exposure and it changed the scene. It made it kind of like a blah day. And then all of a sudden there was movement in the river and in the clouds. And it just made kind of a blah scene into something really pretty. So I think that's kind of what I strive for. I take sometimes the not so great things and make them just pop. So
long exposure is great for that. Like long exposure.
Yes.
So were you doing like fully dragged exposures, like 30 seconds into a minute, or like what kind of long exposures were you doing there?
It was usually about 20 seconds.
Nice.
Yeah. So kind of had that work. Yeah. Oh, me too. I'm super excited. I just got more filters and I'm going to go play around with them. So yeah, it'll be lots of fun.
What kind of filters are you using right now? Are they like the screw on mounts on the front or?
Yeah, I just have the round ones.
Nice.
Those one day good. I would love to. Yeah, they're not as expensive. I would love to do the big square ones and all that, but one day.
It's like that's a steep investment into those.
That is
ones.
A very steep. Yes, absolutely. It's on the list.
Awesome. One of the other things I love about your work is the human element that you include in it really frequently, and like your adventure buddies, or if they're yourself, even at points. I have no idea, to be totally honest. And I love including people in nature photos for that like scale and that bit of human connection that can really cause. Is that, what do you think about adding people into photos there?
Absolutely. Yeah. No, I love adding photos. I think scale is a big, big thing. Like I posted this waterfall photo and with nobody in there, it's just a waterfall. You know, it's icy, you don't know how big it is. It could be like 3 inches tall, you never know. But placing a person in there, it just, yeah, that scale is unreal. It just makes it so much more incredible. And the people just, yeah, even for mountains too, going out and hiking. And it's sometimes really tough to capture kind of the immense the immenseness of it. Like the mountains just go on forever and ever. And by itself, you're like, okay, cool. But you put a tiny little person in there to see truly how massive they are. It really adds that kind of, yeah, that aspect to it. So yeah, I definitely agree.
Awesome. So we chatted a little bit about your gear, but I want to get into a little more, just people love finding out about what people are using to create certain things and stuff. So you said, what wide angle lenses do you typically take with you to use?
So I just got a 16 to 35 millimeter,
nice,
which is pretty awesome. Yeah. And I also have, what else do I have? Oh gosh. I have a 24 to 105. That was kind of just the stock lens that came with the camera. I just bought a Sigma 150 to 600. that's, I don't generally carry that one with me. It's more for just doing wildlife and kind of those days that are, the lighting's not great and you just drive around and try to find whatever is interesting. And I also have a 50 mil too. So I use that for, I mean, kind of playing around with like astrophotography a little bit and portrait stuff. So I kind of use that lens for that one. But yeah, I mostly use my 24 to 105 and eventually my 16 to 35 once I get outside. So
did you get the 2.8 for the 16 to 35?
I got a 4.
You got a 4. That's what I shoot with 90% of the time because it's like half the weight. Right?
Oh yeah,
like
it's so carrying light.
It around is so much nicer.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and it helped because my filters fit on that one.
Oh, nice.
Because it's a 77. The 2.8, I think, was like an 80 something. So
yeah, it's an 82, I think. Anyway, 80. Yeah, no, yeah, I love the F4 because like especially doing outdoors work, you don't need the 2.8 nearly as often. Right?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah. So how do you carry your gear with you? So like I carry most of my stuff in an f-stop gear bag, right? Just to make getting gear out easily. How do you kind of take that into the outdoors with you?
So I have a Lowepro Photo Sport backpack. So it's kind of a mixture between a photography backpack and just your standard hiking backpack. It fits my full camera with a lens. And then it also has a little pocket where you can put filters or another full lens too fits in there. But it also has room for, you know, food, snacks, extra layers, any other of the other gear. You can strap on a tripod to it too and carry water. It has a water feature. So it's a really great backpack. I got it a couple years ago and I love it. I take it with me everywhere.
I wore out one of my bags. Like it was like, I got 5 years worth of work out of it and the thing's like sagging out of the bottom. Like, okay, 300 and some odd days of work a year. I think this is good at this point. So I get using a bag every day. And when you get a good one, it's so worth it.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it's nice because it actually comes out of the side. So I don't have to like take anything out. It just has a zip on the side. So you just turn your bag over, take it out, close it up, done.
That's so beautiful. That's
really, yeah. I'd love to get one of those like clip-on
camera clips. Design capture,
yeah,
clip.
The Peak Design, yeah, exactly, thing. One day, yeah, they seem amazing.
It I'd be is a little my worried favorite when piece it's, of like, gear.
Oh yeah,
yeah, by far. I put it on every bag I use and it is by far my favorite piece of camera equipment. The only time the camera comes out of it is when I'm scrambling or something where like there's a high fall probability. I'm like, yeah, you can go home again. I don't want to fall on you. So totally worthwhile getting the Peak Design clip. I love that thing.
Oh, perfect. Yeah, I'll definitely look into it.
Yeah, we could talk about that all day because I love camera carrying systems.
Totally. Awesome. I was so worried. I'm like, what if it falls off? But I think they're pretty well made. So
I haven't had that happen yet. It might at some point, but yeah, it's always a worthwhile concern.
Yeah, cameras are pretty durable these days. So
yeah, I don't know how many times might have been hit with pucks and sticks and God knows what else during sporting events. Just kind of like, totally. Oh, no.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, too funny.
Oh, so like going back just a little bit to what we were just talking about, the bag that you carry is super important to be able to have the other things with you, right? Like I run into a lot of photographers who work in cities and they just carry their gear because you can stop in at a store, go home, do whatever. But if you're not used to being in the mountains and traveling and stuff, you don't understand all the extra pieces that you're going to need. So what kind of non-camera equipment things do you think are really important for people to take with them out into the mountains frequently?
I definitely invest in kind of an in-reach or a spot. I mean, you never know what's going to happen. Hiking is definitely a dangerous thing to do. Sometimes you could have rock fall or slips, break an ankle. You know, it's definitely an important thing to have to kind of be able to reach out, because a lot of those places you don't have cell service, and I think it's really a good one to have. Also, bear spray. Definitely bear spray, not the bells, the spray. We carry that everywhere we go. You never know. I personally have never run into a bear on a hiking trail, but we are always like super loud. We have our own little calls that we make maybe every 10 minutes or so. We just like yell out your whatever. Actually feels good just to like make some noise. So we've been really lucky with that, but we still always carry it with us. Other stuff, yeah, just kind of like first aid, any sort of like knife or whistle, and lots of layers for sure. Because at the bottom of a mountain, it could be plus 30, but by the time you get to the top, it's could be raining, snowing, windy, like could be 5 degrees up there. I've had that so many times where it's just, I start in shorts and all of a sudden I have like 16 layers on because I'm frozen. So yeah, and lots of food. Always bring some sort of like sweet snack with me, just kind of a, once I get to the top or to the lake, it's just a little good job.
Summit chocolate is one of my favorite things.
Yes. Yep. Yeah. Summit chocolate, Summit sandwich too. They're always good.
Awesome. So let's keep on that kind of like adventuring kind of idea. Why do you go out and do this? Like, is it just something that you love, or like, why do you adventure?
Honestly, I just love it. You know, some days I wake up and I'm like, oh, I'm lazy. Like, I'd love to just sit on this couch and just do nothing. But I find for me, like the photography part of it was really motivational. Like it got me up in the morning. You know, I'm like, oh, you know, I'll go see these amazing places, but I also get to take photos of them and share it with the world. And I love photos for that too. It captures a certain moment or mood or time, and you can go back and look at it, and it teleports you right back to that exact same moment. And I love that feeling of looking down when you're on top of a mountain and being like, yo, I came from way, way down there. Or looking at a map, like last summer I did a 50 kilometer backpacking trip from Vista Lakes trailhead all the way to Sunshine. And when you look at a map, like you're just like, holy, that it's amazing what the human body can do. It took us 3 days, but yeah, I love it for the experiences and for the journey, not just for like the top of the mountain and seeing the views, but also for, you know, hanging out with your adventure buddies or even going by yourself sometimes too. It's yeah, just kind of that peaceful moment in the nature. And it's yeah.
That's kinda one of the things I love too. It's just like being out there and it being quiet for a little while. Mm-hmm. Really, it's just beautiful. Especially like I've done a ton of night hiking, and I think that's one of my favorite things to do with night hiking is it's so quiet. You can hear cars. They're hundreds of kilometers away from you. And it's just beautiful. Totally.
Yeah.
Nice.
I know, it's really amazing hearing the wind kind of like go through the trees or across the lake. It's just, yeah. Especially living in a city too. Oh, yeah. It's nice to get away from the noises and the hustle and bustle and just relax. So, yeah.
Yeah. Do you have any adventure stories you'd like to share with us?
Yeah, I have a few. Awesome. Okay. I have kind of a funny one. It's kind of bad, but so I was in Waterton, I think it was last summer, just by myself. I just went for like a road trip. I really wanted to just take photos and just kind of enjoy the day. It was a beautiful day. And the canola fields were out. It was just amazing. And all the wildflowers were out too, which was absolutely spectacular down there. Waterton is beautiful. So I'm down there and I went to this one area and the wildflowers were gorgeous. And I was like, oh, I got to come back here for sunset. Like it'll be epic. So I drive back there later in the day and Waterton is very well known for having a lot of bears. So I'm out in the field, probably, I don't know, maybe 500 meters from my car or something. I have my camera in one hand, I have bear spray in the other hand, and my keys in my pocket, and I go out there, and I'm just hanging out, taking some photos, and all of a sudden I look down below me, and there's a grizzly in the field below me, quite far away, probably about, I don't know, a kilometer or so, and I'm like, okay, I should probably head back. So as I'm gathering all my stuff and heading back to my car, I hear this massive crack in the woods beside me. And I just like, my flight response kicked in and I just started running as fast as I could back to my car. I was like, I gotta get out of here. I don't know what that is. Like, and as I'm running, I look over and there are two bears also running beside me, probably like 20 feet away. And I mean, with bears, you're really not supposed to run. So I was like, oh, shoot, I gotta just stop running. Like, just, it's fine. And I stopped and I paused and I looked at them and they looked at me and I was like, nope. And I hightailed out of there. I don't think I've ever ran so fast in my life. And my car was like right there. And it was probably one of the most like exhilarating moments. I don't recommend ever doing that, but it was quite the adventure experience. And so I always joke that I was running with the bears when I was down in Waterton. So yeah, they were just young, just a couple like young, really young bears. So they probably looked at me and they were like, oh, hey, like, how's it going? You know, but whew, it got my heart pumping real fast.
Oh, no kidding. Jesus, yeah. That is a terrifying experience in some ways, but also like incredible to get to see them that close.
Oh, totally. Yeah. I mean, they were like a flash of brown, but and once I got back to my car, I kind of sat in there and they walked. One of them walked kind of maybe, I don't know, 30 meters kind of in front of my car. I just, yeah, watched them and it was a cool experience, but yeah, it was definitely a little scary.
Maybe never again if the universe is listening to this one.
Yeah, no, never again. No, I'm glad I had my bear spray and, you know, I was prepared for something to happen. But yeah, flight response kicked in hard on that one.
Oh, that's such a good story.
Awesome. Oh, that was a good one.
I'm glad you're okay, though. Like, I'm glad nothing came out of that. Like, that's good.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah, they were probably just as scared as me of me as I was of them. So it was, yeah.
But, nice. Do you have another one you want to share with us?
Sure. Yeah, I can share another one. So last January, kind of right before COVID hit, we booked Bow Hut.
Nice.
Oh, yeah. It's stunning up there. Yeah. And I just bought a bunch of new touring gear and super excited. I did the avalanche course in November and I felt relatively ready to go, but I was not prepared for the, I think it's like 10 kilometers to hike in. So I had new boots and skis and I had no idea how to use any of them. So I'm hiking 10 kilometers up through this valley to Bow Hut and it was exhausting. It was such a slog. I honestly never thought we'd make it there. And right, it's pretty gradual to get up. Right at the very end, it's like steep, super steep switchback. Like you're switching back every like meter because it's so steep. And we get there and it was quite late, maybe, I don't know, 2 o'clock or so. And in the winter here, it gets dark at like 4. But we got there, finally got set up, ready to go. And we ended up going back out and hiking up kind of the glacier behind Bow Hut.
Nice.
And oh, it was beautiful. I was so tired and sore, but the adrenaline kicked in again and the sun was setting and I have this photo of this mountain. I think it's called St. Nicholas Peak. And it looks like a giant like shark fin. And the sun was setting and the clouds are turning kind of an orangey color. It was just, like glowing everywhere. And the snow was like sparkling. And there were 5 people all hooked up to each other, hiking up the glacier kind of right next to that mountain. And I have this photo of them and it's 5 of them all spaced out with just this massive mountain behind them. And just the scale of it is incredible. I zoomed right in on it and it was just, yeah, it's probably one of my favorite photos to date. It was amazing. Yeah. Oh. And I'd never had really skied on a glacier before. So it was just an incredible experience. The snow was perfect and so many like-minded people were out there and talking and just hanging out. And it was really a lovely experience. And then you get to ski down and it was just like, perfect powder as the sun setting. It was beautiful.
It's one of those moments where you're like, yeah, this is why I'm outdoors. This is why I hurt a little bit.
Yeah, it was just one of those like, holy, holy crap moments. And this world is so beautiful. And yeah, I could have stayed out there forever.
So for people who are listening, just will clue you in on this. This is along that same Icefields Parkway. Like there are so many places along there that if you ever drive it, it's like what, 4 hours probably to go to Jasper from the Banff side. It's going to take you like 12 just because you're going to stop and see so many things. It is my favorite road in the world that I've ever driven on.
I agree. Yeah. Yeah. So many places to stop. Even Bow Lake. In the summer is just stunning. I went there 1 year for a sunrise. We actually stayed at the Nimtija Lodge there. It's only open in the summer. It has like beautiful red roofs and it's really old school. Like you got transported back into time in there, but it was beautiful. We woke up and it was in September. So it was it had like fog lingering on the water and there was some snow on the mountains and the reflection was just stunning, absolutely perfect. And then we had kayaks, so we went kayaking. So we were kayaking in this like foggy lake as the sun rose, and it was breathtaking.
That sounds beautiful. Okay, I'm jealous of some of your adventures. That sounds amazing.
I mean, that's a pretty good one, not gonna lie.
Okay, so let's just keep going forwards. Can you give advice to people who are those like people who are exploring and just starting to document their adventures? Can you give some advice to them on like what you would do, maybe not differently per se, but just like things that you have learned since you started doing it 10 years ago?
I think a big thing is, especially in this day and age, you know, with Instagram and Facebook and sharing, you got to go on those adventures for yourself. Like you can't go to get the gram photo, or I think it's a whole bigger thing than that. I think the experiences and the memories that you have, not just the photos you take, are more important. And I think for those that want to get into kind of adventure photography, I think it's important to, you know, have the right gear, and not that it doesn't need to be fancy or expensive, but just have something that you like using and practice with it. I practice for 10 years. I started with an auto and then finally figured out what all the manual things are. And it takes a lot of time and energy. And sometimes you have to get up at 4 a.m. and just suck it up and go. But I promise you, every time it's worth it. It's so worth it. And yeah, and just be prepared. Like have the right hiking boots, have poles, have all the necessary safety stuff, because it is really important to stay safe and not get caught in a really bad situation.
Stuff can go sideways so easily on the mountains.
Absolutely. Important. Yeah. Yeah. I think the big thing is just bring your camera. There's so many times that I didn't bring it and I was like, darn it. Like I should have brought my camera. Why didn't I bring it? Just bring it. And sometimes just play around with it. And I know it's kind of an extra, you know, 5-10 pounds sometimes, but it's worth it for sure.
Awesome. So you're kind of doing this as a hobby at the moment. You're hoping to grow it into something maybe in the future, maybe not, but I'm loving the fact that you can produce such amazing work and not feel like pressured to necessarily sell it or do anything else with it. Cause I find too many people like, I can take photos. Now I need to make money off of it. And I think people need to recognize just like, you can just go and create images and have fun doing it. You don't have to turn it into a business or do anything like that. So.
Absolutely.
Awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's, yeah, just that kind of artistic creativity part of it too. Like I love just sitting and editing it and really, yeah, not necessarily selling, just doing it for you. And you have an idea in your mind and you can kind of make it come to life a little bit. And that's, I love the editing part of it too, not just the adventure part.
Yeah. I think as you say that might be part of the reason I love your work so much. When you say that, like doing it for you and having your mindset in there, is that you're shooting what you see in front of you and it comes through in the images that you take. So It's amazing.
I'm so glad to hear that. I'm so glad. Yeah, it's been a long process, really. Just trying to, it's hard. You got to be, try and be kind of original and unique. And it's been a long process to try and figure out what that is for me. I'm sure it'll change many, many times through the next years. And, but yeah, I think it's a really fun hobby right now. And maybe one day it'll be something more, but for now, people are always like, oh, love your stuff. You should make a website. And I'm like, one day I'll work on it.
But. Can people connect with you on Instagram if they're interested? Like, can you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Just send me a message and I can, if there's any photo that anybody ever wants to print or buy or whatever, I can totally hook you up with that.
Sweet. So where can they, what's your tag on Instagram?
It is erint_explorers.
Beautiful. Yeah. And totally worth following along. I love looking at it. It's one of my favorite parts of my Instagram feed is the work that comes across from you. And it's just so beautiful. So thank you so much for sharing your work. Like, yeah, it makes the world a better place what you share. So thank you so much for that.
Oh, thank you. That makes me so incredibly happy to hear. And I love inspiring others. And yeah, it's honestly been really fun to get out there and connect with everybody. It's not just sharing photos, but connecting with other photographers and like-minded people it's been really amazing.
Well, do you have anything else that you want to share, chat about on here before we wrap this up?
No, I don't think so. I think that kind of covered all the important bear stories.
The bear stories are the best kind of stories, though. Like, yeah. They're amazing.
So true.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for being here today, Erin. I really appreciate you sitting down and chatting with me and taking a little bit of time to do this.
Yeah. Thanks so much for having me. I'm really happy you reached out. I was a little scared at first, super out of my comfort zone, but this is lots of fun to chat about adventures in photography. So, yeah.
Awesome. Well, congrats on doing it. Thanks.
Yeah, thanks so much. Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you so much for that conversation, Erin. I really appreciate you taking some time to join me and chat about photography and adventure and share some of your spectacular stories with you. Seriously awesome. Thank you. I really hope those of you listening enjoyed it just as much as I did. If you'd like to reach out to Erin, you can catch her work on Instagram at erint_explorers. So it's erint_explorers. And trust me, it is so worthwhile. The images really will add some real beauty to your feed. And if you see a shot that you'd love to have in your home as an art piece, she is happy to sell prints. Just send her a message on Instagram and she will help you out. All right, and that's it for me today. Thank you again, Erin. And if you've got any suggestions for things you want to learn on the podcast or photographers that you think I should be checking in with, let me know. I love conversations like today where we get to peek inside another creative's process, the way they make photos, and the way they see the world and hear some of the adventures that they've had. You can follow along with me on Instagram at Robert Massey Photography, and you can see today's show notes along with some of Erin's images on robertmasseyphotography.ca/show notes. Now, get out there and go adventure. Bye for now.